I want to talk to you this morning about heaven, a place where I'm going, and if you're saved, you are too. And I trust that if you're not saved, that you will be saved so that you can come and go with us. Because when you leave this life, if you're not saved, you will go to hell. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. I didn't say if you were not a church member or a good person. I didn't say if you were not religious. It takes more than religion to get you into heaven. Religion can't get you to heaven. Nothing good you can do can get you to heaven. Listen to me. Religion in and of itself actually will take you to hell. You say, well, that sounds like a negative thing. It's a true thing. And so I want you to hear me this morning now. There's a lot of religious people in our world today. We hear this statement from time to time. We need more religion in the world. We don't need more religion in the world. We've got more of that than we need. We need people that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus made it very clear here in John chapter number 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You want to go to the Father? Would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to go to the Father's house? He said in verse number 2, look at it in John 14. He said, in my Father's house, that's heaven. Okay? The only way you can get to the Father's house is to have a personal relationship with the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Please don't let religion blind you. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't believe that you're good enough to make it. Don't believe that your affiliation to some religion, some church, some creed, some dogma will get you to heaven. It will not get you to heaven. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will die in your sin and you will go to hell. That is a terrible, terrible thing, but yet it is true. It is factual. I do not stand here and tell you that because I dislike people or because I am joyed and overjoyed that people are going there. I am warning people. We had a missions conference this past week. And in the missions conference, see, that's what missions is about. Missions is about getting the gospel to people. Please listen to me. There are people that maybe even some sitting on our chairs today, maybe some watching by live stream, maybe a neighbor you have, a family member you have, a co-worker, someone who attends school with you and sits in a classroom with you. And they have the mindset, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. No one has ever, nor will anyone ever go to heaven because they're a pretty good person. If I could be pretty good and go to heaven, Jesus dying on the cross for my sin would be in vain. Please hear your preacher this morning. There are so many people that tried to go to heaven around the cross, around the tomb. They don't want to go to the cross for redemption. They do not want to receive the fact that God sent His Son into the world to die for their sin, to be buried, and raised from the grave the third day. That's the only way to heaven, brethren. Please hear me. It's the only way. If you could join a church, if you could be part of some religion and go to heaven outside the cross, God made a mistake by sending His Son. And God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. God knew what it was going to take to redeem man back to Himself. And the only way that man can have his sin forgiven is through Jesus Christ. And the only way that man can go to heaven is have his sin forgiven. We cannot be in the presence of a thrice holy God in these sinful bodies. We must have a mediator. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So, I want to talk to you about going to heaven. See, you're either going to go to heaven when you leave this life or you're going to go to hell. There's no other place to go. There's no other place to go. You say, well, this religion said this or that religion. I'm not concerned about what religion said. I'm concerned about what this book right here says. Please hear me. We have a world that has moved away from this book. Many churches are moving away from this book. Many Christians are moving away from this book. Don't you move away from this book, please. Please don't do that. Ground yourself in what this says. Say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, listen, I am too, but I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm proud of my Baptist heritage. Listen to me. But we're not. There's not one person ever going to heaven by being a Baptist. You don't go to heaven by being a Lutheran or a Catholic or an Episcopalian or a Presbyterian or a Methodist. There's no denomination got a market on heaven, got a monopoly on getting you there. You'll never go to heaven by being a part of some denomination. Now, I understand denominations. I understand why they're here. I've done my research on the history of many, if not most of the prominent denominations. And that's for another time. I just want you to know that you can belong to this denomination, that denomination, and this denomination, but the only way you'll get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And I want you to go to heaven. But you know something? More important than this preacher wants you to go to heaven, there's a God in heaven who has done everything that needs to be done for you to go there. I want to talk to you about that place. What do you know about heaven? Are you excited about going to heaven? Do you think about it? Do you think about going there? In just over a month, my family and I will head out on vacation. I need a vacation. Amen. How many say, I need a vacation, preacher? Raise your hand. I'm looking to see if those going with me is raising their hand, because if you're not, amen. Vacations are good. Amen. They're good. I look forward to going on vacations. But can I tell you something? Listen to me. There's something that I look forward to more than going on a vacation. I'm going to a place where I'm never coming back here again. When we drive down to the Outer Banks, we'll get down there and we'll be excited and we'll spend time together and we'll do things together and we'll make memories. But you know what? Toward Thursday or Friday, it'll start setting in. We're getting ready to call this a week. It's about over. You know how it is when you're on vacation. They come to a close. And well, it should be. I always look forward to getting back into my routine and getting back to what God's called me to do. You say, God didn't call you to go on vacation? Well, maybe so, but I just don't feel like I'm in part there. There's something about it that I enjoy it, but I like regiment. I just like consistency, and I like my schedule, my structure. But one day I'm going to pull out of here and I'm not going to be heading to the Outer Banks. I'm going to be headed to the Upper Banks. To a shore that I've longed for. God has put that in my heart when He saved me. And I want to talk to you about that place. What do you know about heaven? There's no way in 35 minutes I can tell you all about heaven. But I want to tell you some things about heaven that I hope will whet your appetite. I want to give you three simple things about heaven. Now, they're under these headings. The first thing I want you to realize with me is in John chapter 14 that Jesus said, heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of your imagination. Now listen to me. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some fable. It's a place. It's a place where my feet are going to stand one day. Now listen to me. If you're saved, your feet are going to touch down on that place. It's not a place where people just float around in some out-of-body spirit experience. No, that's not what heaven is. That's what men have painted heaven to be. But God has never said that about heaven. Jesus said, look at it here. He said in verse number 2 of John 14, He said, in my Father's house. Do you float around your house? Do you? No. Jesus is trying to put heaven on a map for us so we can kind of get an idea. It's a good home life. where you're with family and you come together and you do things together and you make memories and you reflect and you rejoice and you enjoy the presence of those in whom you love. That's why I said it's my Father's house. I love to be at home with my family. I love it when my family, my children, and my in-laws, and my grandchildren, my extended family, when we get together and we rejoice and we talk and we do things together. One day we're going to get in a big house, brethren. Listen to me. It's real. It's a real place. And we as Christians, we're going there. And it's not because that we're good or not because we're this or that. It's because we've been born into a family. That's what makes us family here, and that's what makes us family there. We get born into this family, the family of God. Notice here, if you would, in verse number 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a, what's that next word? Place. Heaven's a real place, brethren. It's a place. And sometimes the enemy will try to make you think, well, you know, it's not real, or it's just somewhere where we're just going to kind of float around in oblivion and we'll be in some unconscious state or some form of soul sleep. Hey, listen, the devil created that, not God. God has never said that about heaven. Preacher, what is heaven? It's a place. I want you to turn just for a moment into 2 Corinthians, and I'll have to go through these scriptures. I wrote them down. I may just give you some of the scripture and tell you what the context of the scripture is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul went to that place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want you to turn there quickly, Paul said this. He said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one called up into the third heaven. Paul said, I went to this place. God called me up into this place. God showed me some things there about this place. Paul went to heaven. And he called it the third heaven. Heaven, it's real. You see, just as real as the first heaven. Now, I won't want you to turn there, but I want you to write this verse down. Jeremiah 15, the scripture says that, and Jeremiah 15, let me get that verse down. Jeremiah 15, it's in verse number 3, it says, the fowls of heaven. When you look up and you see where the birds fly and the planes fly, when you look up, see, that's the first heaven. That's the first heaven. We call that the atmospheric heaven. I can see that heaven. And then, if you'll write down this verse, in Isaiah, in chapter number 13 and verse number 10, Isaiah talked about the stellar heaven. He talked about the heavenly bodies, the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets. They're real, brethren. They're real. See, that's the second heaven. And then here, Paul spoke of the third heaven. That's the abode of God. When you read the scripture, it talks about it being in the sides of the north. It's where God resides. It's where promotion comes from. Read Psalm 75. Write this verse down and read it sometime. Psalm 75 in verses number 6 and 7. In Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 11, the scripture says, Leviticus 1:11, it says that when you make your sacrifice, make your sacrifices toward the north, toward the abode of God. See, God is there. That's the house of God, the Father's house. Listen to me. That's where God abides. God is real, brethren. So, well, I can't see Him. Oh, listen. By the eye of faith, you can see Him who is invisible. God said that. Heaven is real. Paul was called up there. Somebody said you can see the first heaven by day as you see the birds fly. You can see the second heaven by night as you look up and see the lights in the sky, the moon, the stars. And you can see the third heaven by faith. Can you see heaven? Can you see him there now? Have you ever had God to give you just a little glimpse of what it's like? Have you ever thought about your loved ones that are there? Hey, I want to tell you something about heaven that ought to excite you about heaven. The Bible says that we're going to know one another in heaven. Amen. Now listen to me. It says we're going to know one another. The Bible says this. You're in 2 Corinthians. Turn back to chapter number 5 of 2 Corinthians. It says that in heaven, it says that when we leave this earth. Now I don't want you to miss this now. Look in verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Let's let the Bible tell us about this wonderful place that God has created for we who are saved. I want you to know that Paul was, in verse number 2, he was earnestly desiring to go to that place. Amen. He said, oh, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, in verse number 2, he said, I'm just earnestly desiring, amen, to get that new body and go to my new heavenly home. He said, I'm just can't wait. I'm just excited about getting there. Here in a couple of weeks, we'll start our countdown to go into vacation, and boy, the excitement will begin to build, and we'll start thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to approach this and that. Can I tell you that every day of our life we ought to be making our preparation for when we get to heaven? I am more sure that I'm going to heaven than I'm going to the Outer Banks September the 30th. Are you listening to your preacher this morning? Brethren, we're going to heaven. I may not make it to the Outer Banks, but God knows I'm going to make it to heaven. Amen. I'm going to heaven. You are too if you're saved. We're heaven bound. Old Dr. Mays Jackson used to say, he said, heaven bound with the hammer down. He was a truck driver special. Amen. Just an old country boy. But I tell you right now, he knew something about going to heaven. Look at, if you would, in verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, therefore, we are always confident. You see why your preacher's confident this morning? Because I'm depending on what God said. And Paul said, I'm bold. I'm confident. I'm sure. This is not a hope-so. This is not a might-so. This is a no-so. Amen. We're going to heaven. And he said, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. You can be confident this morning if you're saved in the grace of God. I believe the reason a lot of folks are not so confident, they're not even so sure they're saved. When you're sure you're saved, you can be sure you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. He said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Please hear your preacher this morning. Immediately when you leave this world, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Immediately. Immediately. So I'm going to a holding cell. No, you're not. Some religion taught you that. The Bible never taught you that. When you leave this world, if you're saved in the grace of God, you're going to be present with the Lord. And if you are not saved in the grace of God, Luke 16 says you're going to lift up your eyes in hell, being in torment of the flame. When you leave this world, you're going to either wake up in heaven or you're going to wake up in hell. Amen. Praise God, we who are saved are going to wake up in heaven. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved. Why don't you be saved today? Why don't you have your sin forgiven? Have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ so you can say, my home now is heaven. I'm going to heaven. Paul said, when you leave this life, it's heaven if you're saved. Right? Amen. Amen. I want you to notice this. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. So just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah, I get tired sometimes too, buddy. I do, but I'm going to keep on preaching. Amen. I'm going to preach right out of this tiredness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to look at verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also I am known. Now what's that mean? I want you to listen very carefully. Brethren, I can't see all things clearly right now. See, Paul was talking about, he said, you know, back in these days, Paul said, what we've got now, he said, it wasn't glass. It was kind of brass that they shined. It was shined brass. And when they looked at themselves in that brass, I mean, that wasn't the best picture they got of themselves. Might have been good for some of us. Amen. But he said, you know, you look in that brass and you don't get a real clear reflection of who you are and what you look like. He said, that's the way this life is. You know, can I tell you something? I want you to think about this. I thought about this week. Sometimes we wonder and we ask this question, will we know each other in heaven? I think, well, according to the Bible right here, we'll know more about each other in heaven than we will here. How much do you really know about somebody here? Now think about that. Do you really know? Really know? Right? Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly. He said, we don't know as much as we think we know about some folks. We don't even know as much as we think we know about ourselves. There's some imperfections in us that mirror don't always show up because that mirror is not the clear picture of who and what we are. You listening? I'm telling you what the Bible said. He said, but then, look at it. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 12. He said, but then face to face. Amen. He said, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Brethren, when we get to heaven, we're going to know one another. That's right. We're going to know each other better than we know each other now. That's what this verse of Scripture is teaching. When we get to heaven, we're going to know each other. Remember, you can write this Scripture down in 2 Samuel. I'm just going to ask you to turn there. I want you to read this with me. Turn to 2 Samuel. I want you to find this. 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. Turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. Some of you know where I'm going. David had a little infant child. And that little infant child was very, very sick unto death. And David prayed and fasted before the Lord. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have an account of when God took that little child on home. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm going to pick up my reading in verse number, we'll start in verse number 16. It says that David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house, are you with me? I'm in 2 Samuel, I do not want you to miss this. The elders of his house, 2 Samuel 12, verse number 16. Verse 17. The elders of his house arose and went unto him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. And I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and the child may live? But now he is dead. Now watch this. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No. But I want you to notice where David's hope was. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David said, I'm going to him. Now I want to ask you a question. What comfort would there have been in David going to meet a child that he never knew and would not know? There'd have been absolutely no comfort in that whatsoever. I'm going to meet some child that I've never had any dealings with, wouldn't know, couldn't tell it from this one to that one. No. It brought comfort to David's heart because God had made it real in David's soul that when you get in the afterlife, you're going to know those in the afterlife that you knew in this life. I'll give you one better. You're even going to know those in the afterlife that you didn't know in this life. When Jesus and the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they knew who Elijah and Moses was. You think Peter, James, and John ever met Moses and Elijah? Brethren, I'm telling you, this place called heaven's a real place, and it's a wonderful place. And when we get there, I mean, won't it be wonderful there? I want to just show you what God does for people, what God does for people. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, very familiar passages of Scripture. We've had a couple of deaths within our church family just here recently. Some even as recent as yesterday. And I just want to say to those of you that are hurting in your heart, that are longing to see your loved ones again, I want to tell you that there were those of the Christian faith many years ago that faced what you're facing. And they didn't have some answers, and they wondered, what will this be, and how will we ever go about seeing our loved ones again? And so God moved on the Apostle Paul's heart, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, I want you to write them this. Look at verse number 13. He said, you know, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. You know, ignorance is not bliss. Somebody say amen with me. Ignorance is a terrible thing. And don't you let anybody tell you any different. You need to be in the know. You can be in the know in God's word and in God's way and God's economy. Verse number 13, he said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, watch this now, even so them also which sleep, those that have died as a Christian, those that sleep in Jesus, those that have died having received Christ as their Savior, will God bring with them, brethren. That's real. Listen to me. That's real. One day, I'm going to, if God calls me out of here in the rapture, I'm going to meet my grandmother in the clouds, amen. I'm going to meet my mom in the clouds. I'm going to see my loved ones again. We're going to be gathered together up yonder, amen. It's real. It's real. Say, preacher, I don't want to receive it. You're missing out. You're missing out. The devil is going to steal your joy. And all you're going to live for is a few things here, a few material things that'll burn up with this old world. But if you get sight of that land that is over yonder, brother, if you get a glimpse of heaven, you'll long for that place. Oh, listen, the songwriter said, I can almost see them standing there, robed in garments, bright and fair. It's real, brother. It's real. Paul said here in verse number 15 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not about some denomination. It's not about some theologian. It's not about some preacher. This is about what God said. God said, I'm going to reunite those of you that are saved in the grace of God with your family that has been saved in the grace of God and that has gone on before you. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, which means precede. You're not going to get there before they do. Them which are asleep. He said, here's why. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead. Watch these next two words. In Christ. Not just any dead. Now, if you're lost, you're not going up. You're going down. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's their bodies. See, when you die, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Why? So God can bring you back. Look again at verse number 14. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus. See, your body. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Remember that verse? Everybody with me? Why? So you can be brought back with him right here. That's right. And then your body that was laid in the ground is going to come out. That's what verse 16 says. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds. I want to stop right there. Called up together. Amen. Called up together with them. Who? Those that have gone on before us. That's right. Now what joy would there be? Listen to me now. What joy would there be if, oh boy, we're going to be caught up together and have this grand reunion time. We're going to have a reunion time. We're going to have a great family reunion. But I'm not going to know anybody. What? Paul wrote these scriptures so that they could rejoice. As a matter of fact, notice in verse number 18, he said this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You missing your loved one? If they were saved and you're saved, I want to guarantee you on the authority of God's word, you will see them again. There's going to be some shouting in the sky one day, brother. You listening to me? Look what the scripture says in verse number 17. He said, we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm talking to you about heaven this morning. It's a real place. It's a place where people go. As a matter of fact, if you're saved, you're going there right when you die. See, the thief was on the cross, the one that trusted Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and he did not say this, all right? He did not say, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you to a holding cell. We're going to see how that works out for you. And if things go right, I might see you again. That's not what he said. He said, today, verily, verily, which means amen, amen. It is so. It is true. It's not going to change. Verily, verily, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Did you get the word? Today. Today. Jesus knew that he was going to give up the ghost, and he knew he was too, because he knows all things. And he knew they was both going to give up the ghost today, and they was going to meet real soon before the end of the day. I'll see you. Amen. See, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. Now, if you listen to just a lot of religious stuff, you'll be confused about what heaven is. I want to also remind you that when Stephen was being stoned to the death in Acts chapter 7, Stephen looked up and he said, hey, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father there. You know what he said right before he left this world? He said, into thy hands. He said, receive my spirit. Right then. Right then. That's what's going to happen to me one day. Jesus is going to receive my spirit, brethren. If I die, this old flesh is just going to go right to the ground. And you'll say, oh, Dale's dead. No, Dale's more alive than he's ever been. Are you listening? So don't you say, oh, our preacher died. Our preacher died. No, he didn't. Not this preacher. Amen. You might have a preacher die somewhere, but this preacher's not going to die. I'm going to live forever. I have eternal life. Are you listening? When that dawns on you, I am alive forever. And as we heard in Sunday school this morning, thank God it's not on this earth. I'm going to a better place than what this earth has to offer. I'm going to heaven, amen. A city four square. I'm going there where the walls are jasper, the street is gold, the gates are pearl, brethren. There's a crystal clear river that runs through it, and there's trees planted on either side that bear 12 manner of fruit, brethren. And the leaves are there for the healing of the nation. Going to walk in and say, hey, mama, it's your boy, amen. Grandma, thank you for praying me in. But thank God that's not where I'm going to stop, amen. You say, preacher, where will I find you when I get over there? You just go to that throne where Jesus is sitting, and you get down at his feet, and that's where you'll find this old sinner. I'll be bowing at the feet of Jesus saying, thank you, Lord. I'll be singing that song at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. And thank God that's where I got in at, amen. Heaven, brethren, heaven. It's real. There used to be a time when Christians were excited about going to heaven. We get more excited about going to Walmart in heaven these days. I'm not being mean, I'm just stating facts. Could it be that there's a group of people that call themselves Christians that have lost sight of where and what their home really is? This whole world's not our home. Man, we done drove our stakes down. We done pitched our tent. Don't you drive your stakes down and pitch a tent here. Paul said, the time of my departure. Pulling up the stakes, brother. Amen. You read that, that's what it means. Pulling up the stakes. It's time to sail on. Amen. The time of my departure is at hand. Heaven. Well, I'm going to get you, I'm not going to finish this message, but you know what? I just want to whet your appetite a little bit. I'm just to the heavens, it's a real place. I didn't even get to the good part. It's a remarkable place. It's remarkable. Pastor BJ said in Sunday school this morning, he said, you ought to read Revelation 21 and 22. I want to put a check by that, Pastor BJ. Would you go home and read Revelation 21 and 22? Oh, my. Revelation 21, verse 10, God called up John to a exceeding high mountain. He said, John, I want to give you a tour of your new home. He said, I built something for you, and I want to give you a little peek into what you're going to be moving into. No wonder John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus, amen. Oh, my. He said, I can't wait to move in that place. It's real, brethren. It's real. We're going to heaven. My mind can't even comprehend it. I'm going to heaven. I can remember a time in my life I never even thought about heaven. But now I'm longing for that place. Do you have a longing in your heart for heaven? You say, well, preacher, I want to finish my life here. You don't understand heaven. See, I used to think that way. I'm not saying I'm something now. Please don't think that. I've got a lot more to learn about this book and about the God of this book and about the heaven I talked to you about this morning, but I'll tell you something. I never think anymore, oh, I hope that Jesus doesn't come and I don't get to finish out watching my children, my grandchildren, and spending my time with my wife. See, I understand now. I'm going to be gathered together with them. Listen to me now. You say, well, preacher, is that so? Oh, yes. Take your Bible just for a moment. Turn, if you would. Turn to Numbers chapter 27. People feel sorry for Moses. Don't you feel sorry? Listen, when you get to heaven and you've ever felt sorry for Moses, he's going to thump you on the ear and say, what you feel sorry for me for? Don't you feel sorry? Oh, he didn't get to see the promised land. Oh, yeah. Listen, he got to see the real promised land. He got to see Beulah, not Canaan. Listen to me. What do you mean, preacher? Look at Numbers 27. Numbers 27, I'm going to tell you what God did for Moses. I got some scripture, and I'm going to close right here with these scripture. I'll get to the remarkable part and the reserve. I'm going to close with the reserve part. I'm not going to leave that one out. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's a remarkable place. And it's remarkable. Listen, God built this place. It's remarkable. But it's a reserve place, and I'm going to tell you how to make your reservation before we close today, okay? Because you, listen, if you don't check that reservation box to the Outer Banks or Aruba or wherever you're going, you might miss a little something. But if you don't make your reservation to this place, you're going to miss it all. Amen. Everything. Are you in Numbers 27? Look at verse number 12. I want you to notice what God told Moses. Numbers 27 and verse number 12. God said this, the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the Mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, also thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. He said, Moses, you're not going to see the promised land. He said, but I got some good news for you. You're going to be gathered with your brother, Aaron. You're going to be gathered with your family. You're going to be gathered together. You're going to see your family. That sweet mother who put you in that little ark of bulrushes. That sweet mom that looked by faith and preserved your little life and set you out on a journey that I had ordained for your life. He said, you're going to hug her neck again, Moses. Are you listening to me? Don't you ever feel sorry for Moses again. Oh, poor Moses didn't get to see Canaan's land. Moses got to set his eyes on something far greater than Canaan's land. Amen. Turn, if you would, into Genesis. Turn back to Genesis just for a moment. Genesis, look at chapter 25. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that I think sometimes we think heaven is just, well, you know, we're going to go over there and we're not going to know anybody. Now, listen. You can go to Walmart and see a lot of people you know, but you won't know everybody in there. Well, I don't know, in Greene County you might, amen. But listen to me now, listen to me. When you get to heaven, you're going to know everybody there. How? I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Read Matthew 8. Read it, write this down. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 11. Jesus said, listen, he said, they're going to come all around here. We're going to gather them together, and you're going to meet Abraham and Isaac, Jacob. He said, you're going to have a big family reunion with people you've never met. See, God can do that. God does that. There's something supernatural about the supernatural world. We're trying to take the supernatural out of the supernatural. Amen. Don't take the supernatural out of the supernatural. Then you just have natural. I don't want natural.
I don't like natural. I want supernatural. Amen. See, it's natural. I wasn't doing too good. This old natural man, hear me now. I was spiritually discerned. I was blind. I was lost. I don't want natural anymore. I want supernatural. I'm fine with the supernatural. Keep me in the supernatural. This book's supernatural. My experience with God is supernatural. And my heavenly home is supernatural. Supernatural, brethren. We Christians ought to be living in the supernatural. The reason we're so dead and pious, dried up, we're trying to live the supernatural in the realm of the natural. Get out of the natural. Get in the supernatural. It'll change some things, amen. Look, if you would, in chapter 25. Are you there? Genesis 25. There's a man by the name of Abraham. Genesis 25. I hope you'll follow me on these last few here. I'm about through. Genesis 25. I'm in Numbers. Amen. In Genesis 25, Abraham gave up the ghost. Look at verse number 8. Genesis 25 and verse number 8. The Bible says, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. Now watch this. And was gathered to his people. Can I tell you, God likes that gathering? See, what we're doing here is gathering. I could preach a whole nother message. I'm not going to do it right now. God likes gathering. He does. We're going to gather here until we gather there. And when we leave here, God's going to have us gathering again. And so he said, Abraham, you've lived a full life. You're an old man now. Go on and gather with your family. Amen. Is that what the book says? He said, go gather with them. Dead people don't gather. Amen. Look over just another few pages, Genesis 35. You say, well, that was Abraham. He was the father of the faithful. Well, in Genesis 35, let's see what God told Isaac. I'm just going to give you a couple more and I'll be done. Isaac, look in Genesis 35, verse 29. Can I tell you, when I was sitting at my desk this past week, looking at this, tears was just flooding my eyes and my heart was just rejoicing. And I just praised God. God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. God, thank you for removing the scales from my eyes. Thank you. Thank you that I get to go to heaven. God, thank you. I'm coming home, Father. I'm coming home. I don't know when it'll be, but God, thank you. I get to come to heaven. Brethren, we're going to heaven. Saved people are going to heaven. I pray you're saved. Because if you're not, you're going to hell. See, we just had missions conference. So what that's all about? Well, I'll show you here in just a moment. In Genesis 20, 35, are you there? Look at verse 29. Verse 29. The Bible says, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. See, God's for that gathering. He said to Moses, I want you to go gather. He said, Abraham, I want you to go gather with your people. And he said, Isaac, I want you to go gather. You say, well, what if you don't live such a good life? Well, if you're God's child, you're God's child. I want you to turn over to Genesis 49. You know what the name Jacob means? It means schemer. It means supplanter. Now, I've already said this morning, if you're saved, y'all live right. Amen. If you're saved, y'all live right. But the Bible didn't say if you're saved and live right, you're going to heaven. It says if you're saved, you're going to heaven. As a matter of fact, if you don't live right, you might get there sooner than if you did live right. Because God will judge you if you're saved and you're not living right. God judges the sin in his people. Amen. This is just elementary stuff. In Genesis 49, notice if you would with me in verse number 33. Genesis 49 and verse number 33. It says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed. That's his body now. That's his body. Yielded up the ghost. Now here's his soul. And was gathered into his people. His body stayed in that bed. But where did Jacob go? He was gathered unto his people. See, brethren, when we leave this life, we're going to heaven. We're going to be gathered with God's people. And what a time that's going to be. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time. Let's close back in John 14. So, preacher, can I go to heaven? You sure can. As a matter of fact, if you're saved, you are going to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. All right? Saved people go to heaven. I give you my word, if you'll give me just a couple of minutes, I want to just show you something I hope will really help you. I want you to look in John 14. This is what Jesus said. Why is heaven so wonderful, preacher? Is heaven wonderful because our grandmothers will be there, our sweet grandmothers that prayed many of us into the kingdom? Our mothers who nourished us when we were young, who changed us, who done things for us we couldn't even do for ourselves. Those that we love. Is that why heaven's so wonderful? Is heaven so wonderful because the street is of gold and the walls are of jasper and the gates are of pearl and there's men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob there? The Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John? No. That's just a small part of why heaven's a wonderful place. I want to give you the real reason right here in John 14. Did you see it when it was read this morning? Look at what Jesus said. Let's read it. Follow me as I read. John 14 says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You're not going to be here long. Don't get so tied down in this world. Don't get so over anxious. Let not your heart be troubled. You're not going to be here long. Just a little vapor. Just a little while and then you're passing on. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, don't you miss this part. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, this is what makes heaven heaven. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Jesus said, I want you with me. I tried putting me with you. Had to do that. They didn't want it that way. They nailed me to a cross. But I want you with me. Not going to be a lamb then, going to be a lion. You listening? It's going to be different. When he came to our place, didn't work out. Actually, it worked out exactly the way God wanted it to. But there was hatred and violence and all manner of evil. But when we go to his place, he said, I want you with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you can be also. I want you to come be with me. Amen? That's what makes heaven heaven. I'm going to where Jesus is. Have you ever longed to see him? You know, you can stand to your feet. I just believe when you get saved, as you begin to grow, you'll long to see him. You ever think about seeing Jesus? Oh, a preacher, I'll never see him. Well, now, if you're saved, you're going to see him. We're going to sing to him. At some point, I don't know if I'll do it next week. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I may pick up at next point, heaven being a remarkable place. It is remarkable. I think that's the reason a lot of people don't want to go. Can I tell you how I started going to the Outer Banks? I don't care about the Outer Banks. I know. I do. You know how I started wanting to go there? I'll never forget this guy. He kept telling me. He said, you ever heard of Duck, North Carolina? I said, what? He said, Duck, North Carolina. I said, never. Are you saying duck? He said, yeah. I said, no, I've never heard of the place. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I think you and your family enjoy going there. I said, really? He said, yeah. Well, the rest is history. But he kept telling me about it. He kept telling me all the things I'd enjoy about it. Right? And then I finally went. I enjoyed it. Is that how maybe your vacation experience, you kind of researched a little bit. Somebody told you about it, then you started researching it. So I just want you to do that about heaven. I want you this week to start telling some people about heaven. You know about heaven? See, it generates interest. When you start talking about something that's, man, this is exciting. This is something you'll really enjoy, heaven. You know, you ought to research it. You'd really enjoy it there. But no, wait a minute. You got to make your reservation. In John 14, Jesus said, I want you to come be where I am. He said, now you know where I am. You know where I'm going. And Thomas said, wait a minute. Now this is missions. Don't miss this. We know not the way. We know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How's somebody going to know in case we tell them? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Man, if somebody told me, hey, come and go to heaven, I thought, okay, I'm going to start doing better. I'm glad somebody told me, no, that's not the way you get to heaven. You can't just do better and get to heaven. Well, I'll just come down to your church. Well, you just can't start attending church and get to heaven. It's a good thing to do. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not how you get to heaven. You understand what I'm saying this morning? You understand what I'm trying to teach you from the Bible? That's what we're doing. We're telling people how to get to heaven. We're telling people the gospel. You know what the word gospel means, don't you? Good news. It's good news, but it's only good news when it reaches them before they die. And so can I encourage you to share the good news? Would you invite somebody to come to heaven? If you're going to heaven, if you're going to heaven, would you this week invite somebody to go to heaven with you? And would you pray and say, God, what do you want me to do about telling people I'll never see? I can't tell them, but there's a missionary that you've called and their family to go tell them, and God, help me to do my part in seeing that they get there. I want to be a part of them people hearing how to get to heaven. See, that's what missions is, all right? Heaven, a place called heaven. It's real. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. And I know I was a little long this morning, but my, I'm just excited about going to heaven. I'm